Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, let your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. Spirit, come have your way in me. Give me ears to hear, give me eyes to see. Show me who I'm supposed to be. Cause without you I am incomplete. And I find I find you when I seek you with my whole heart. Seek you with my whole heart. And I find you. Oh, I find you when I seek you with my whole heart. Seek you with my whole.
Something different.
got to be the greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at your best and hard, there's only one that can come and make it right. So ain't no need for stressing and crying, cause he gon' show up just like he did the last time. And the last time.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. I'm your host tonight. I'm Tanisha. Terrence sends all of his love, and he will be praying behind the scenes, but keep him lifted in prayer. He's not feeling his best tonight. His back is bothering him, and we are really believing for healing for his back. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer in a bit here to pray for physical healing in bodies because, you know, I've watched his struggles with having a persistent ailment in the physical body, and I know I've had things that I struggled with. And I know that there's something that God desires for us to be totally healed. By his stripes, we are healed. So we're going to pray for that in a bit. But I am your host tonight. I'm Tanisha. Today is March 21st, 2021. It's 9:14 p.m. Central Standard Time. And as always, very excited to be here, very honored. Believing God for a lot and believing for increase of our faith tonight. I'm believing that God is going to give us exactly what we need. Sometimes we think we need something, and God will show us what we need. And I'm always believing for that because the Word of God says that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So sometimes in life, it's all about perspective. It's not about what's going on, but how we're processing what's going on. And you might think that you need something in your life, and you're not getting it, and you're getting frustrated. But trust the Word of God and know that he will supply all of your needs. So if you don't have it right this second, you don't need it. Let me put my phone on silent. It's all about perspective. I was talking to my oldest daughter tonight, and she graduated from boot camp. So she's off to A school, very excited, very proud of her. And we were talking about perspective, and it was funny because the things that she learned in boot camp were things that Terrence and I had already instilled in her, things like mind over matter and not losing, you know, just winning or learning. It was refreshing to hear the things that you instill in your children when they finally get it. You know, sometimes as parents, we want our children to get it from us, but Terrence and I have both matured to the point where we just want our kids to get it. You know, it doesn't matter if it comes from us or somebody else, or if it comes from a combination of us training them up and then the teaching being reinforced, as long as they get it. So very proud of her, very excited for her, even her growth in her relationship with God. It's very exciting. And that's how I am with people in general. Like, I love to see people grow and prosper and do well. And that's something that we're about here on this show, you know, about, on PGN. I know myself personally, when I first discovered PGN, I want to say it was like 2014, I want to say. It's been a while. Yeah, I want to say it was 2014. And I've grown tremendously. I have grown tremendously in wisdom. I've grown in knowledge. I've grown in my gifting. I've grown in my heart for people and how I love people. And so this is a place where you will grow and you will flourish. It's good ground. There's good, solid teaching. There's amazing people that's connected to this ministry. And the only thing that's needed on your part is your willingness. Your willingness to be corrected, or your willingness to learn or to seek things or see things from a different perspective, your willingness to be a servant to Christ, to do what the Word of God says to do. Because a lot of the times we get caught up in the ways of the world, just like we're seeing it now with a lot of these ministries, with the whole merchandising thing that's been going on. In the body of Christ, in a lot of ministries, they're doing it the world's way. The world says if you want to make money, you got to, you know, sell things. That's the way of this country, to sell things. But the Word of God says if you want, you got to give to get. Totally opposite. And so one thing about PGN is we preach the Word. We preach the Word of God. What does God have to say about it? And we stand by it. And I know Terrence and I are, you know, examples that God's word, it works. It's real. You know, if you guys tuned into the show, into Randy's show on Monday and Tuesday, Terrence and I were on there. Terrence was with Randy on Monday, and it was just amazing, amazing show. And then I was on there on Tuesday telling the testimony about the house that we're having built. And this is totally by the hand of God. You know, we didn't do it according to the world's standards, because right now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the housing market is totally nuts. It's crazy. I sent Randy an article yesterday that was talking about how crazy the housing market is. And one realtor said that he had listed a house and there was like 90-something offers on it within one day. And so people are just being outbid very quickly. People are snatching up lots. So it's whether it's a pre-loved home or a new build, the housing market is just crazy between the availability and the prices. You know, it's just, they said it's unprecedented. But during all this chaos, this is when God chose for us to buy a home and did it in a supernatural way. So tonight, I just want you to be encouraged. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter what the world standards are. It doesn't matter what the qualifications of the world are. God is going to do what he wants to do. And if he has spoken over you and he has promised it to you, you can hang your hat on it. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. Because the ways and the systems of man are non-existent compared to the way and the system of the kingdom. And so I see a lot of change that's going to happen in the body of Christ, that we're really going to see that realm of ownership of our homes, of our businesses, of our time. You know, because when you really think about it, when you work a job, your employer owns your time. They're paying you for it, of course. But they own your time from 8 to 5 or, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 4:30, whatever your shift is. And it's an exchange. You're exchanging your time and talent for income and for benefits. And so you don't own your time during that time. They own it. And I see that, I really see God moving into where we own our time. And of course, there's always going to be a need for workers. But I see us even being the employers and not just being the employees, where we can employ one another and we can base our business principles on the ways of God, on, you know, however he tells us to earn income. There's nothing wrong with earning income, but there is a problem when you're trying to mix the systems of the world with God's way, or when you're unwilling to do things God's way. God might tell you to have a successful business and donate a lot of your product. And you might say, well, that's going to mess up my profit, you know, if I take all this product and donate it. But if you're obedient, do it, you know, God can multiply what you have, like when he multiplied the bread and the fish. So here you might have 500 items and he says, donate 400 of them. And you're like, oh my, my profit's going to be, you know, affected. And he could take your 100 and multiply that to 1,000 by a supernatural means. You know, somebody could donate it, or, you know, any old type of thing. He has his ways. So I see us owning companies, homes, property, being able to farm on our own land and coming out of the world's systems, so that we're not dependent on the world and the way that they do things, or we have our own. But in order for us to move into that, it's going to take a great deal of faith. It's going to take a great deal of trust, and it's going to take our willingness to do what God tells us to do. You know, because if you did listen into the show, I was telling Randy how, you know, God had given us a time when to start looking for the house, when to have our credit ran by a lender and all that kind of stuff. And we had already previously ran our credit with the lender just to kind of see where we were at and what needed to be done to get to where we could be qualified. And so we did that, and I was told to raise my credit score to a certain amount. And so I was doing really good, get my credit cleaned up. I mean, I was there. I was where we needed to be. I was excited. And then I get an alert actually a couple of my credit scores had dropped, but one of them, it had dropped by like 84 points or something just insane. And so when I went to look to see, well, why did my score drop so drastically? I've never seen anything like that. It claimed that one of my credit cards had increased by $10. I'm like, that doesn't even sound right. Like, first of all, the balance was already low. I think I had the balance at like $22 or something like that, something extremely low compared to the available credit. So I'm like, I don't see my balance going from $22 to $32 making that big of a difference. And I was very frustrated. And my initial thoughts were, you know what, we're not going to be able to qualify for a home because now this 84-point dip, I'm out of there. Like, that changes things drastically. It's almost 100 points difference. And then I said, you know what, I'm not going to stress myself about it. I don't care. God wants me to have a house, I'm going to have a house. I'm not going to stress about my credit. I'm not going to be checking my scores. I was acting like a mad woman, checking my scores every day. And, you know, Terrence swiped anything on his card. You know, I'm authorized on his card. He's authorized on mine. Like, you need to pay that down. My score dropped 2 points. Hurry up. Like, I mean, just really obsessing almost with it. Why was I doing that? Because I was following I was thinking I was going to get it the way the world does it. And here I am, you know, I've said on the show several times, I've said, if God wants you to have a house, it don't matter if you got good credit or bad credit, you're going to get it. It don't matter. And here I am sitting here stressing about my credit. So I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I stressing about my credit? You know, here I do. I minister to people all the time that God's going to give you whatever he wants to give you. It doesn't matter what the world system says. And here I am not even practicing what I preach. Let me stop stressing about this and leave it alone. So I did. I said, I don't care. You know, I used my credit cards how I saw fit. You know, I made sure I paid my bills on time and all that kind of stuff. I didn't get all reckless, you know, but I wasn't being extra, you know, mindful of, oh, if I do this and my credit score, you know, I wasn't all stalking like I was before. And so God told us what month to run our credit again. And we were obedient. And we did that. And the lender says, good job, Tanisha. Good job. What? He goes, yeah, your credit's exactly where it needs to be. Good job. I was just sitting there like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't tell him that, but I was just like, my credit is literally worse than when you first ran it. I mean, it was better, but I was just like, wow, okay. And Terrence used to tell me, Terrence is so easygoing. He's such a laid-back person, if you haven't picked that up by now. But Terrence would always say, we're not going to need your credit. We're not going to need your credit at all. And I'm like, no, because we're going to need my credit. He was speaking this by faith. But I was still, at that time, stuck on how the world does things. And so not only was my credit good enough, you know, according to the lender, he's like, oh, good job, you know. But come to find out, they didn't even need my credit. They were like, we'll just use, you know, we could just use Terrence's credit. They didn't need my credit. So here I was stressing out at one point until I said, you know what, forget about it, over something that wasn't even necessary. And I tell you this to say, just trust God. If God said it, it's going to happen. He's not telling you what could happen. Now, sometimes God will tell you what could happen, you know, in wisdom. He can tell you. God does give warnings, but prophecy is different. And there is prophetic warnings, and a lot of times it's telling what's going to happen regardless, you know, because sometimes you'll be in a battle or something, and God will prophetically tell you how that battle is going to end, and to just kind of make you aware of what's going on, so that you don't get all up in arms because what's going to happen is already going to happen. But in this case, it was God saying what was going to happen. Concerning, he's like, you're going to get the house. You know, we were still dealing with court stuff and all that. So I'm like, I don't know if we want to get a house during this time. And God said, what I have for you can't no devil take from you. So that gave me peace. And like even the way we got the house, you know, we went to go look at a whole different house, and it wasn't even built yet. It was just, it had skeletons, you know, or it had the frame up, but I'm not as like Terrence. Terrence can see frame, and he knew exactly where this is the bathroom, this is the kitchen. I'm like, how do you know this? It's a bunch of wood. I can't see it. And so I was ready to go. I didn't want to go in the first place, but I felt like we should. And our realtor was like, hey, let's just go look at the model home so you can get a better idea. Because I'm like, the house isn't even built yet. I can't visualize it. And she came out there and she was looking, and we walked around. She was like, let's go look at the model home. That way you can kind of see what it looks like, you know, all built out. And, you know, it was a cool house. It was nice, but it wasn't, I knew I didn't want it. And so there, that particular subdivision had several builders. So we're just looking at different builders, and I'm like not feeling none of them. And one of the builders was like, you know, we've got another property, another subdivision 5 minutes up the road. And the city, he said, was the city that we felt God was originally trying to told us that we were going to live in, where we're going to get our house in. And so God told me, if you're willing to live here in this city, you're not willing to go 5 minutes up the street and live in that city. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. And on the way there, Terrence, you know, kind of told me how he was feeling frustrated with the house search. Those of you who've searched for homes know how frustrating it could be. All the houses start to blend into one house at one point. And I told him, I'm not going to just pick any old house. Like, it's a feeling that I'm going to have. I'm going to know when it's the house because based on a feeling. Because he was tired of looking. He's like, just pick a house, you know. And I'm like, it's not that easy. I got to know in my spirit that it's the house. So we go to the property of the particular builder who sent us out there, did not like the model home at all. And so we saw a couple of other builders, and then we all looked across the street, and there was a builder. None of us had ever heard of it. Our realtor hadn't heard of it. And we saw that the lot sizes were pretty big. So we were like, well, let's take a look. You know, we're already out here, and it won't hurt. As soon as we walked in, I knew that was the house. As soon as we walked in. And the sales lady comes out. Terrence tells her, I want this house. And she was startled, because Terrence can be very, he's a character at times. And I think people don't know how to take that. They don't know if he's joking or if he's being serious. But she kind of like jumped back a little bit, and he's like, what I got to do to get this house? And he's like, what's the catch? You know, we're looking at the price. The price was right. The house is beautiful. You know, I'm looking through the house. The more I'm looking through the house, I'm like, this is the house. And the house didn't even have all the features that I thought I wanted in a house, but I was like, this is it. You know, I'm looking outside, go upstairs. I'm like, this is the house. And she's telling us how, you know, they've got a waiting list, and Terrence and I already knew about that. You know, we're still on the waiting list of two other subdivisions. We haven't heard from them. When we do, we'll tell them thanks, but no thanks. We've already found our home. But so we already knew about that, about waiting lists and all that kind of stuff. And our realtor was like, you guys should get a spec home. And so she asked, do you have any spec homes? And she's like, we have one, but I don't know if it's available or not. You'll have to talk to the regular sales guy. But she gave us the address of it. So we went and we walked it. Terrence walked on the foundation and stuff, and our realtor walked on the foundation of the neighborhood. I'm like, this feels like our neighborhood, you know? So our realtor gets with the regular sales guy, and he's like, oh, the spec home is already sold. You know, I'm just waiting on some paperwork from the, you know, the people who purchased it. And she's like, okay, well, my clients are really interested in this subdivision. Like, I know you guys have a waiting list, but they're really, really interested. They've already got their financing, you know, this, that, and the other. So we prayed about it. You know, we were kind of disappointed to hear that the spec home was sold, because they didn't really have a lot of lots left. And I know that the sales lady had said that the model home, that they didn't have a lot of lots available for the model home, and we really wanted that particular model. And the spec home, come to find out, was the exact model as the model home. So we just prayed about it, said, hey, if we're supposed to be there, we're going to be there. We're not going to be stalking that guy down or nothing. The next day, the sales guy calls our realtor and says the people backed out of the house. They didn't send the final papers. They backed out, said it was too far from where they lived, and asked if we wanted to sign the papers on it. And so he had availability the next day, which was on a, I want to say it was on a Friday. Yeah, because he called Thursday and he had availability Friday. We didn't have any availability Friday. So we were like, can we come Saturday? Now, we knew we were taking a risk by saying that, but we weren't going to stop the plans that we have trying to force something. You know, we're like, if it's meant for us, you know, he'll have availability, because we told our realtor we don't have any availability Friday. It's going to have to be Saturday. And she's like, you know, you guys are taking a risk because there's, you know, a waiting list already. And we're like, we know, but that's, we don't have availability that Friday. So she's like, okay. So she messaged him. She didn't hear anything back from him the rest of Thursday. And then she didn't hear anything back from him Friday morning. So I'm like, oh man, this guy's probably said, forget them. They're not serious, you know. But ended up Friday, I think Friday afternoon or Friday evening, he said that he had availability Saturday, Saturday evening. And so we went down there and we signed the contract. This is something that I didn't even tell Randy this on the show, but since we've signed our contract, the price of that model has gone up, I want to say, 3 times since then? Or 2 times? I can't remember, but it's gone up tremendously, the price. But we're locked into our price. So if we wouldn't have got in when we got in, we would have had to pay much more for that particular model and, you know, with the upgrades and stuff that we got. So the whole thing was just totally, totally God. Between the lender and the financing and, you know, even how we got there. We wasn't looking for that city anymore. We had looked at that city when we felt like God said it was a city. We didn't find anything there. We're trying to force it because God said, this is where you're going to live. So, of course, we initially were like, let's look there. And we're being disobedient because God said the house wasn't even going to, you know, he's like, you're going to live in the city and the house isn't built yet. And we're looking at pre-loved homes. We're like, you know, the house is already built, basically, you know, and then we were like, you know what, maybe it's in our city. You know, you start talking yourself out of what God said and getting frustrated in the process because we're not finding nothing. Nothing feels right. You know, the prices are not right. Prices were just like completely inflated. Like it was very frustrating. And then when we did find the property that we liked here in the city, the waiting list, and then the price jumped up when we looked at it. The price was already kind of steep, but it was manageable, but it was still way above what we were wanting to initially pay, but we loved the house, but they said there was a waiting list. When I checked recently on that same house, the house price for that model has jumped up almost $200,000. It's insane. Insane. So we were just getting frustrated, but we ended up right where God told us we were going to end up. And not by our force. We weren't, you know, not by our trying to make it happen. It just, God orchestrated it, you know, like, okay, go look at this house. Okay, that's not going to work. And then they're like, well, there's another one at this city. And I'm like, that's the same city that God initially said. So, and God said, so are you not willing to live 5 minutes away in that city? And I'm like, okay, go look at the model. That didn't work. Just kind of like, let's look at this builder we've never heard of. You know, let's go look at their house. And walked in and like, that's the house. Harris prophetically, you know, jokingly telling the lady, I want this house, and we got that house, that same model, you know, even though the house was, the spec home was supposedly sold. So it just worked out, and we were even able to pick out, you know, our own trimmings, I don't know what they call them, features. Like colors and stuff, like we couldn't pick out the cabinets, but we can pick out like the countertops and the carpet color and all that kind of stuff. Because for those who don't know, spec home is a home that the builder normally, you know, they build it so that everybody doesn't have 8 months, 9 months to wait on a house to be built. So they build a spec home and they usually give it all the upgrades and stuff for people that are interested in a new build, but they don't have the time for, you know, an 8 month build, a year build or whatever. So the house, the only thing that had been built on the spec home was the foundation. So we still were able to make the house ours and put in a lot of input, which is, you know, awesome. So it feels like it's personalized. So the whole thing was just orchestrated by God, the whole thing. Even though we were trying to force it initially, got ourselves frustrated, and then it still ended up being what God said it was going to be. And so I tell you this tonight to say that God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and he'll work it all out. to work it all out. Like, we were looking in the city, willing to, Terrence liked the home that we had looked at. I didn't like it. I was like, it's too small and it doesn't have all the space that we need for the things that we want to do. But he was frustrated. And, you know, he had a timeline. He's like, it's got to be built this year. And this house will be built this year. And I was like, but I got to have a feeling. God told me that I'm going to know when it's my house. And so we respected each other's, you know, the different things that God had told us. So the spec home meets Terrence's timeline. Even he was like, this is the house. It's the city that God said. It hadn't been built yet. Because if it was already built, like a spec home normally is, that wouldn't have met the criteria. But it wasn't built yet. The only thing there was the foundation. We've been watching it be built, which is amazing. We go out there and the house isn't closed. We're in a whole different city. We're in a whole different, you know, area. It's like rural. It's totally different than where we're at. Where we're at, it's all built up and stuff and it's established. But where we're going, it's up and coming, but it's there's still cows and horses and stuff out there. So it's different. And God had given us a word a while back to grow where we're planted. And so that's why we started using that scripture to justify staying here, because we're like, well, this is where we're planted, you know, in this city. But no, he meant that particular city. And it makes sense because that city is now growing. You know, we're going to be part of the development of that city. God has planted us there while that city is being developed for his own plans and purposes. And so we're really excited about that. There's been some things that God has spoke to us about being involved in, like, city council and stuff like that. And Terrence had, you know, tried to get involved in the city council and the city that we're in and stuff. And then he had missed the date. And I don't know, it just didn't work out. And so now I understand why it didn't, because this wasn't the city. It's that city. And I know Randy has talked about on the show before how God will give you prophecy. And sometimes you'll just misinterpret it. Doesn't mean the prophecy is wrong. This means that you're just not interpreting it correctly, like Joseph did. And so that's how it was. We got the prophecy right, but we were kind of misinterpreting it. And now that everything's coming together, it makes sense now. We're like, oh, okay, that's the city that he wanted to plant us in, to grow in. And, you know, but everything concerning that prophecy with the house has come to pass. It wasn't built yet. It's in that particular city. It's in the price range that we want. It had not been built, right? It's got good schools. I know that's something I told the Lord. It's got, like, one of the best school districts. So it met the prophecy. You know, like, even when we read the Word of God and we'll see prophecies in the Old Testament, and then we'll see the prophecy come to pass in the New Testament, and there'll be characteristics of the prophecy that will come to pass. And we weren't trying to force that. You know, we're just following after our realtor, which said the spec home. I wasn't even thinking about, oh, the spec home's already built. And God said it's not going to be built yet. But when the lady's like, you can go look at it, and it was just a foundation, I'm like, just a foundation. Like, there's no house built on this yet. So, you know, trust God tonight. If he said you're going to have that business, you're going to have that business. If he said you're going to have a spouse and two kids, you're going to have a spouse and two kids. I don't care how old you are. You know, trust the word of the Lord. Don't even trust your own feelings. Your feelings will get it wrong. Your emotional realm will get it wrong. Because, you know, if Terrence and I would have gave into our emotions, we would have just picked any old house. And we would have been happy with it, truth be told. But it's not about us just being happy with things. We want the things that God has for us. We want the full blessing. We want the best. And Randy had even given a word about why it felt like things weren't happening the way that we wanted them to happen. And he was like, it's because God wants you to have the full blessing and not just partial blessing. And he's like, and you'd be happy with the partial blessing, but that's just not what God, that's not what he wants for you. And that's not how he's going to play things out, basically. And so if you're frustrated tonight, like we were frustrated with the house thing, because you know what you heard, but it just doesn't seem to be panning out and you're doing what you feel is your part. We could have just sat back and had a glass of lemonade and waited for God to tell us to go to that particular subdivision. You know, I don't know how he would have worked it if we wouldn't have been trying to force things, but it still worked out. It still worked out. He work it the way, based on where you're at, you know? So don't feel like you're messing up or, oh, you're going to miss it. If he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So even though we were, you know, we weren't messing things up per se, but we were off a little off course. He still brought us back to where we needed to be. We didn't mess anything up. You know, he used it so that we could meet our realtor. He used it so that we could have a testimony to tell you tonight. And maybe we'll tell it several more times, you know, once we're all moved in and stuff. But so he uses it. And so a lot of people, they become afraid to make a move because they're afraid that they're going to mess up. They're going to mess up the prophecy. They're going to mess something up. And so look at our tale, just in this house thing. You know, we got it all wrong. We was all in the wrong cities, looking at the wrong type of houses. We looking at built houses. We had it all the way wrong and didn't realize it. We didn't realize it, but of course we knew certain characteristics that God had told each of us separately. You know, he gave Terrence the build time. He didn't tell me a build time. So when we saw that really nice house in this city, that was the build, I think the house was going to be completed it was going to be done in 2022. I know that because they weren't even going to open the waiting list until March. And then from there, they were like, you got to go through design. They talking about this long process. So I don't even think they were going to be able to break ground to build the house until April, May. And then they were talking about it was an 8-month build time or something like that. May, June, July, August, October, November, December, January. Yeah. So it was like the house would have been ready in like January, which takes it out of 2021. So Terrence like, that doesn't match my build time. Well, it's not going to work. And then me, I'm like, I got to feel like it's my house. So God didn't tell me the build time and he didn't tell Terrence, you're going to just feel it when you walk in. So, but we respect each other as individuals. And we know that each other hears from God. And so we worked with that. And that's something that was valuable for us too, because we worked as a team. It wasn't like, well, as long as I feel like this could be the home, that's it. And he wasn't like, well, as long as it meets the build time, that's it. No, we knew that both of the things that God spoke to us as individuals were characteristics of the prophecy, which taught us a good lesson on, you know, working with people, because we're going to all have to work with one another. You know, this is what I see. I see that. And you might get a part of the prophecy and then I might get another part of the prophecy, and we got to respect each other and go to God, because I didn't ever feel like Terrence was wrong on the timeline. I respected that. So that's how, you know, I'm like, okay, we still put our name on the waiting list, but I knew that we weren't going to get that house because of that timeline thing. But I was like, well, maybe they'll, you know, shorten the time to build it. And I was like, well, we're not going to just exit out. You know, we'll just wait for them to call us and just kind of go from there. And then if it doesn't meet the timeline, we'll just, you know, say no thanks. But they never called us. We still haven't heard from them or the other property. So just have faith tonight in the things that God has told you for your life, no matter what your credit looked like, no matter what your, you know, doctor said, that you are infertile, you can't have kids, and God's promised you're going to have kids. Trust God. I was told at a very young age that I would never have children. At a very young age, I was told that the way my body was, wouldn't be able to have kids. And I've had 4 children born by my body, you know, and through Terrence, I have 2 others. And through my son, I have my daughter-in-law. And I consider her my child too. And so people can get it wrong. And God will get it right. And I remember even being at a young age, and this is for somebody tonight, so I don't think I've ever shared this story. I remember at a young age, and I wasn't raised in church or anything like that. I was more so an agnostic. I believed that there was something, but I didn't know what. But I still remember when the doctor told me I was not going to be able to have kids. I've always loved kids. At one point in life, I thought I was going to work with kids because I went through a program. I took child psychology, and with this program, while I was in high school, I was working with preschools as like the aide. So to give me like experience and all that kind of stuff, and the classes that I was taking for the child development would count towards college credit. And then if I continued with the program, they would help me secure a job after high school. So I was serious about working with children, because I've always loved children. And so I remember when I was told this, I was never going to be able to have kids, even though I didn't have a relationship with God. I remember saying some sort of prayer. I didn't know who I was saying it to, but I was just like, please let me be able to have kids. I didn't know. I was just kind of putting it in the atmosphere. I was putting it in the universe. Yeah, that's what they say. I was putting it out there in the universe to please let me be able to have kids. And here I am. Here I am. So tonight, if you've been told that you're never going to be able to have kids, or maybe you've been trying to have kids and you've been having some infertility issues, you know, but God has told you that you're going to have kids, that you're going to birth children, right? Because you can have kids in other ways. There's adoption. And I know with some people, they want to have birth children. There's surrogates. There's all sorts of, you know, IVF. There's all these different methods and stuff. But maybe God has told you that you're going to birth your own kids. And you've been doing everything in your own power and might, and it's just not working. You're frustrated. You're tired. You don't think it's going to happen. You know, take heart. If God said you're going to birth kids, you're going to birth kids. You know, I was told, like I said, early. I think I was 15 or 16 or something. I was told you're never going to have kids. You're never going to have kids. I told that as a teenage girl who loved and adored kids. And ended up having 4 kids by my body. 4. So people get it wrong. You know, medical science, I love medical science. I love doctors and nurses. I have a heart for them, actually. Takes a certain type of person to care for the sick and to dedicate their lives to making people better and, you know, that kind of stuff. But they could get it wrong, or they might even be able to get it right. And God does something miraculous. Miracles are I'm going to have to sound like Catherine Coleman. I believe in miracles. I believe in them. They haven't died out with the apostles and the prophets and all that. They're still prophets. You know what I'm saying? We still exist. Some people teach that. Some people have been indoctrinated with that. Oh, there's no more prophets. Well, if there's no more prophets, I don't know what I am. It's no more prophets. There's no more miracles. There's no more this, that, and the other. That stuff ceased. It's gone. It's in a different age. We're in a new age. No, that's not true. That's a lie. It's a lie from the pits of hell. God is still in the miracle working business. I believe in miracles. You might have a womb that's barren, and God can fertilize and make your womb where it could be fertilized, where you could carry a baby to term, a healthy baby, and be able to birth that baby. It doesn't matter what tests they ran. I worked with a lady. Like I said, I'm on this for a reason, and I'm going with the flow of the Holy Spirit. I worked with a lady who was told she could not have kids, and she went through everything. She did the in vitro. She put her body through so much. She was taking all these, pumping up all these hormones and all this kind of stuff. And she had been doing that for years. And it was devastating to her every month when she was not pregnant. Because she was a woman of God. You know, we would pray together and all that kind of stuff. And I was pretty new in my faith at that time. But I remember, you know, telling her one time that, you know, I think you're going to end up having a baby. Like, you're going to have kids. Because she would just be so devastated. She was a young lady. She was young. She was healthy. You know, her and her husband were, she was like really, they were like, you know, best friends and spouses. Like, you know, it's amazing when your spouse is your best friend. And they were really in love and they really wanted to have children. And finally, after so many years, she said, you know what, we're just going to adopt. Because there's other ways to have babies. And she said that she believed that that God was going to give her kids. But she's like, maybe I'm believing it the wrong way. Maybe I'm putting God in a box by thinking it's going to happen through my womb. Maybe it's just me taking on a child that somebody didn't want. And, you know, my husband and I have a lot of love to give, and we could love this child as our own. It doesn't have to be, you know, biologically ours. So they adopted. They adopted a handsome little boy. And I want to say he was maybe 1, and she ended up pregnant. She was sick. She didn't even know she was pregnant. She thought she was sick, but she had a stomach bug or something. She couldn't keep anything down, and emotions were all over the place. And she was like, man, I've got some nasty bug. And she went to the doctor thinking that they were going to tell her she had some sort of stomach flu or something. And they're like, you're pregnant. And here's a woman who had had hormones pumped in her for years, several rounds of in vitro, and that stuff is expensive. It's not cheap. She spent thousands of dollars on treatments, going to different doctors, taking different pills, she was all over the place getting pumped up with all those hormones and stuff. She was exhausted. But here she was, not thinking about having a child and thinking that she just couldn't have one, and she ended up pregnant and had a beautiful little girl. And then do you know the next year she ended up pregnant again with the little boy? Just the cutest thing. So she ended up adopting an amazing little boy who her and her husband loved and adored. You know, they didn't treat him no different than they did when they had started having kids. But God used it. He used it for that little boy that she adopted to have a family. And she still was able, she still had her own children. So it didn't even make sense. Her doctor said he didn't know what was going on, but he said for her, he told her to thank God. Because I told her, I said, well, how did your doctor explain that? And she said he couldn't. He told me to thank God. And I said, well, we do thank God. And her pregnancy was normal. Her pregnancy was healthy. You know, she didn't have any complications. She didn't need to go on bed rest. She carried a full-term baby girl, that first one. And same thing with her second pregnancy. The next year, you know, her baby girl, I can't remember how old she was when she ended up pregnant again with her son, but she wasn't very old. So she had back-to-back babies, and they were perfectly healthy, normal pregnancies, full-term children who were totally healthy. And it was a miracle. Now, that's a miracle, because how do you explain a person who, when they're trying to get pregnant, they can't? Even going through medical science and all the techniques and just medical science even throwing their hands up and saying, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen, but we can keep trying, you know. But she was frustrated. And like I said, it's very costly. That's a miracle from God. That's a miracle. So if you're believing for children, keep believing. If God told you that you're going to have children, if he said it's going to happen, God told you he's going to heal that sickness, he's going to heal that sickness. If God told you you're going to be a multimillionaire, you're going to be a multimillionaire. I don't care if you got $3.22 in your bank account right now. You're going to be a multimillionaire. If God said you're going to be a business owner, you're going to be a business owner. If God said you're going to get your college degree, you're going to get your college degree. Whatever he said, it's going to happen. Let's pray right now. I'm not going to unmute tonight. I'm going to pray over area codes and prefixes, and I want to tend to Terrence, but I'm going to pray over everybody. But first, I would like to do a corporate prayer for physical healing, because I feel led to do that, because I'm believing that. So I believe in miracles. I want you to believe in miracles, too, because sometimes the things that's going to happen in your life is a miracle. And even our house story, it might not seem like a big deal. That was a miracle. I don't care what nobody said. I know the market. I mean, I've been in it. Even when they're making articles about how unprecedented and crazy it is, that was nothing but God. That was nothing but the hand of God at work, because that alone could have been intimidating. And we could have said, you know what, let's just wait for the market to die down. And no, we did what God told us to do. And so when it comes to the realm of miracles, you got to do your part. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Do your part and let God do the rest. You know, when Moses went before Pharaoh and said, let the children of Israel go, it was a miracle that Pharaoh didn't take him out. This man was a whole fugitive. He didn't come back, you know, even though, you know, he was a prince of Egypt at one point, but he didn't come back as a prince of Egypt. He came back as a fugitive who killed an Egyptian soldier and ran off into the desert and then came back. We don't know what type of things they had. He might have had a warrant for his arrest. I don't know what they did in that time for fugitives, but that's what he was. He was on the run, and then when he came back, not only did he come back and show his face, but he came back with whole demands, not just to some Egyptian resident. He came back with demands to the Pharaoh himself. They could have took him out. That was a miracle from God. It was a miracle when the plagues were going on in Egypt. It didn't hit Gershon. It didn't hit the children of Israel. That was a miracle. Can you imagine people getting lice and darkness and rivers turn to blood, frogs, flies, and all sort of mess, and you cool? Can you imagine God telling you, hey, I need you to take this animal and sacrifice it and put the blood over the doorpost? You don't know why. You just know, you're just being obedient. So their obedience was a miracle that their firstborn sons didn't die. Like the Egyptians, that's a miracle. It was a miracle when they left, and when they left loaded, okay? They didn't just leave with their freedom. They left with gold, okay, precious jewels. They left with goods. That was a miracle. It was a miracle that when Pharaoh gave chase with his army, that the Red Sea parted. That was a miracle. It was a miracle that when they was done and Pharaoh's armies came after them, and while the Red Sea was still parted, that the Red Sea closed up on them. That was a miracle. I can go on and on about miracles. Look at the life of David when Saul was after him. Saul was the king. Please understand that. Please understand the power that Saul possessed. He had alliances with other cities and stuff. David was on the run, and Saul was on his head, and even putting it out there that he wanted him. It was a miracle that somebody would take him out. It was a miracle that when he got close to Saul, Saul didn't wake up and take him out. David, the fact that he still possessed his life after Saul had put it in his head that he didn't want him alive was a miracle. Look at the life of Paul. My God. Look at the life of Paul. This man was going around preaching Christ in a time where that was not popular. Like, kind of like the times we're in now. It wasn't popular. You want to get unpopular? Start talking about Jesus in our time. They're going to call you a type of phobes and all sorts of names. And here he was preaching the gospel and maintaining his life, because that was a miracle. It was a miracle of God. And God is still doing miracles. He did miracles in the Old Testament. He did miracles in the New Testament. He's doing new miracles in your Testament. But you got to just do your part. Sometimes your part is just having hope. Sometimes your part is just letting go and letting God, like the girl I worked with. She just let things go and ended up having two babies by her own womb. And saw God in it, because she said, if I wouldn't have went through this, I would have never adopted my son. And she adored him. She's like, my family wouldn't have been complete, because God had this little boy for us, and this is the way he brought him. But the promise still came to pass. And she would have children. And she did. From her womb and her adopted baby, who was just like coming from her womb, because it came from the womb of God. He impregnated her with the idea. So it was no different. And so tonight, don't look at your setbacks as being, or what appears to be setbacks, as being things that are taking you out the game or things that are causing you to miss out. God will work it for your good. If he gave you a prophecy, believe it. And sometimes it does take a miracle. Sometimes it will, to believe the prophecy. You might have been in pain for a very long time. And you're like, you know what? If God was going to heal me, he would have healed me by now. That's not true. Believe in miracles tonight. Believe in miracles for your finances. You might have been poor your whole life financially. You might be rich in spirit, but poor finances. And you don't have no inheritance coming to you. You don't got no fancy job. You don't have no bright ideas to earn income. So it's going to be a miracle for you to be a millionaire. But if God said you're going to be a millionaire and a financier to the kingdom, you will. I don't care what your background is, educational or financial. I don't care who your family is, or if you haven't got no family. Maybe you were adopted. You don't know who your family, you know, your family, your biological family is. Maybe your adopted family is passed on, so it's just you. So you feel like you don't have no family. You got family in the kingdom. You're a kingdom kid. Father God, that's an inheritance for you through him, through Christ, and what he did on the cross. And when you decided to be a joint heir, believe in miracles. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. So thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to minister to your people, speak into their lives, Lord. We just believe right now for physical healings and bodies, Father God. Believe for back pain to be healed. Believe for neck pain to be healed, Father God. For feet, arthritis, Father God. I believe heart problems, whether it be heart disease, congestive heart failure, heart valve disease, chronic heart attacks. Heal it right now in Jesus' mighty name. We pray against diabetes right now, Father God. Regulate those sugar levels, blood sugar levels in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray for healing for high blood pressure. Let those pressure levels go to the normal range. Yes, to the normal range. Tinnitus in the ears. People might have been having ringing in their ears. The tinnitus, didn't even know what it was. I speak healing in that. Speak healing against migraine headaches. Let them be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Let those migraine headaches never return right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Swimmers, I see something with swimmers. Swimmer's ear and tennis elbow. Let that be healed in Jesus' mighty name. I pray against gout right now. Be gone in that inflammation in the body, that it will not return, that it will dry up and die. I speak against any form of that foul demon of cancer right now. Speak against, let those cells close up, those cancer cells, let them die. Let them be gone. I speak miracles in the body, no matter what type of cancer it is. Heal that body, Father God, of cancer. I speak against HIV and AIDS right now and herpes. Let that come out of the body. Let those cells regenerate and nerve endings. Let those nerves attach to the herpes. Let those nerves not feel that pain anymore. Right now, and in Jesus' mighty name, I speak against sickle cell anemia right now, that condition will go, that condition will not be detected in the blood any longer, and that you will have long life and no sickness. I speak against multiple sclerosis right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let the curvature of the back be straightened. And let it go back in position right now in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Speak against allergies, chronic sinusitis, chronic allergies right now. Let that body build an immunity to where when those allergens go into the body, that there's not a reaction, not the sinus headaches, sneezing and congestion, swelling and all those things that come along with that. Speak healing right now against allergies right now in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Rheumatoid arthritis, be healed. Be healed. Let those joints straighten up. Let those joints be told. Let the joints hear the sound of my voice, that by the stripes of Jesus, there's healing. So you must go back into formation. Let that pain go away. Let every cell in the body know and be reminded that by his stripes, we're healed. People with dental issues, I speak regeneration of gums and teeth and enamel, that God will supernaturally do fillings in your mouth supernaturally. You'll see an enamel growing back on your teeth. And if you have gingivitis or you have any issues with the gums, that it will be healed. God's going to heal that supernaturally. You won't have the bleeding gums. And I speak strengthening of teeth. Strengthening. The teeth are strong. Those roots are strong. right now in Jesus' name. Speak against acne, whether it be a chemical imbalance or whatever is causing it. Speak healing of the skin, the derma realm, and the skin, that acne will be gone and that there will not even be scars. I see that acne like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting thrown in the fire and they didn't smell like smoke. I speak against even the scars of the acne, that it will go away and there won't be any scars. It's almost like you never had the acne in the first place. Speak against coronavirus. Yes. Speak against that. Let that virus subside. And if anybody had any lingering effects, there's a new, they've classified that now. Let everything reverse. Let the sense of taste come back. Let those tremors be gone right now. Sweats, night sweats. The tiredness, I speak against tiredness. Any type of lingering effect for those who had it, let there be total healing in their body. And I speak against Epstein-Barr virus, which is chronic fatigue syndrome. Let that virus close up and let that strength be replenished. Speak against lung problems, asthma and emphysema and bronchitis, chronic bronchitis. I speak against conditions of the lungs right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let those lungs be healed. Let that breathing be improved. Speak against sleep apnea right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let there be healing. Let there be healing. Speak against conditions that are in the DNA, things that we may or may not be able to control, like a tendency to overeat or alcoholism, drug abuse, same-sex attraction, promiscuity. Speak against that right now. Be healed of that. Be healed, slothfulness. Be healed of that right now. I speak against that spirit of addiction. And right now I speak against that spirit of grief that tries to hold on, that tries to take people, try to choke them down and take them captive, come off of them, spirit of grief. Right now, I speak joy in the hearts and minds of God's people. Right now, Lord, we just thank you for total healing, for people with hair loss, that their follicles regenerate. Let it regenerate. People with the conditions of the eye, glaucoma and cataracts, vision problems. Let those eyes be restored right now in Jesus' mighty name. People with problems with the jaw, straighten the jaw. Creaky jaw and there's a, like a, when the jaw clicks, I see somebody with like a clicky jaw, that where the jaw hurts all the time. Let that be healed. And problems with the knees right now, whether it be cartilage loss in any part of the body, cartilage loss, clicking elbows, clicking knees, joints. Yes, clicking joints. Let there be healing. Let the cartilage return. Father God, let doctors be wowed. Show them that you are the great physician. Yes. People with problems with the sleep, insomnia, I speak against that foul demon of insomnia. Let them be healed, Father God. Let your people get sound rest. Speak against mental illness right now. Let their minds be regenerated and renewed in Christ. Let the same mind that be in Christ be in your people, Father God. Yes. Yeah, speak against pedophilia and other disturbances and disorders. Let the realm of like craving and attraction line up to God, what God would desire. So I speak against that right now in Jesus' mighty name, and porn addiction, and addiction to things that are completely not normal. And you know it's not normal, but you're ashamed. I speak healing in you right now, and I speak against the spirit of shame, and I speak that you would walk in the spirit of truth so that you can be used of God right now in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Lord, we just believe in miracles, Father God, for your people. We believe that you're able to do these things. And let your people have an open mind and not lose their healing. Not lose their healings. Let them hold on to their healings. Let them believe and hold on. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to pray over area codes and prefixes. Before I do that, I do want to tell you a quick story about a healing that I had experienced supernaturally. I was having a problem in the mental realm. And I was dealing with a lot of anxiety and stuff. And it was really, really bad. Like, I would go out and drive and, man, my anxiety would just go through the roof. And the Lord told me to tune into a very popular Christian program where they would pray over people at the end. So I'm listening, and they prayed over the exact thing. Like, the lady named all the symptoms that I was having when I was having these really bad anxiety attacks and stuff. And I felt light. Like, I felt like it was for me. I claimed it. And so I'm out driving, like, the next day. No problems with anxiety. No issues. So the day after that, same thing. Then a thought came to my head. What if I wasn't really healed from that? What if that was fake? What if that, you know, and do you know that it came back when I was driving and had the same horrible attack? And I was just so devastated because I'm like, I really thought I was healed. And I believe I was healed, but I believe I had lost my healing. I talked myself out of my healing. And so I prayed and cried out to God. I'm like, please, I can't deal with this. Like, it's driving me nuts. I can't do this. And the Lord told me, tune into that same program. So I did. And they're praying, and the lady says, you know, this is going to sound weird, but I know I prayed over this person before, and God wants me to pray over you again. And it was me. It was the same exact symptoms. It was the same thing. I was like, oh, my goodness. And that time, I believed, and I never had that issue again. I never had that type of anxiety or I don't know what it was. It was really bad, but it was just like I would have this, just it was such a horrible feeling of dread and anxiety and all that that used to come on me when I'd be driving. And it never came back. And God taught me something with that experience that I was healed, but I had talked myself out of my healing and lost my healing. And so I say that because if you experience healing, don't talk yourself out of your healing. Because you can. It can happen. Believe God, and when those thoughts try to come, you tell those thoughts that I'm healed. I am healed. So I'm going to pray over everybody that's got their hand up. If you don't know how to put your hand up, you just hit one, and that gives me a little indication that your hand is up and that you want prayer. And after you hit one, you'll hear, you're now in the host queue. So if you haven't heard that and you hit one, then you may not be in the host queue. So just hit one, and then, you know, that'll let me know. Once you hear that, you'll know that you're in the host queue. But if you hit one and you were already in the host queue, it'll take you out, and they'll say, you're now out of the host queue. So make sure that it's saying that you're in it so that I'm aware that you need prayer or that you desire prayer. So I'm believing that whenever I pray over you, I believe that you're going to get whatever you need because I don't even know who you are. I see you guys' numbers, but I have some people's numbers memorized, but honestly, I'd just be praying. But I'm believing that you're going to get what you need. God's going to give you what you need. So I'm going to start from the top and go down until we get everybody, and then I'm going to close out and attend to Terrence. So starting off at 336-354, Lord, we just thank you for 336-354. I thank you for the sword. I thank you for the sword. I see God putting like a battle sword in your hand, and it's a sword where you can't lose. It's a sword where you can't lose. So any time you're facing things, anything, opposition, and you just pick up your battle sword of the Lord, and it's a guaranteed win. Because when we battle God's way, we don't We don't lose. And I heard Randy recently say on the show, he said, a lot of people fight like hell, right? But if you fight like hell, you're going to get hell results. We got to fight like heaven. And what does that mean exactly? It means that we do things God's way. We don't just do things no matter what, just for the sake of winning. Because is it really a win if we don't do it the way that God wants us to do it? No. It's a delayed loss, basically. But when we do it, and we do things and we battle God's way, even when it looks like we're losing, we're not. We're winning. It's a guaranteed win. But that's when I see God placing his sword in your hand and teaching you how to battle. And the sword, it guarantees a win. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 251-342. Lord, we just thank you right now for 251-342. We thank you for victory. We thank you for victory. We thank you for victory in areas where it didn't look like there was victory, or it looked like it was like, I see like area, like you get in victory in areas like things that you let go of, so to speak, like where you're not fighting anything, so to speak, but it's like something that you might have let go of. So it's not like actively in your face, you're not thinking about it, but then it's going to come up and you're going to have received victory in that particular area by the hand of God. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done. And speak victory in their life. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The next call is 734-672. Lord, thank you for the music of heaven. Thank you for the music of heaven. I see the music of heaven, like, permeating you. Music is a ministry. It really is. And I see God filling you with music. Music from heaven, ministering to you through heavenly songs. And I've had experiences before where I've had visions of heaven. I believe I've been there. It was in a dream, but I was still there. It didn't feel any less real than me talking to you right now. But one of the things I remember the most, besides the colors not existing here, was the songs. There were beautiful songs, and there were lots of them. Everything sings, basically. Everything sings, and then all, it doesn't sound like a bunch of radio stations all going off at the same time. It's like everything has its own song, but the songs are all in harmony all at the same time, if that makes any sense. But I remember I had a vision one time of heaven, and I had went, this is when I was 18, so I wasn't even a believer at that time, but I remember some of the songs, and I remember after I became a believer, Joyce Meyer, she had came into town, and God told me to get to her, get to that meeting. And there was traffic. I was late. It was just a big old mess. And God's like, just get there. Just get there. So I'm like, okay, I get there, I park. I'm just totally late. Like, they're already in the middle of praise and worship. And I remember when I walked in, the song that was being sang, it was so familiar. I never heard the song on earth, but I went to the altar and just kneeled, and it zoomed me back. I'd heard the song in heaven. I'd heard the song they were singing in heaven, and it really gave me revelation that a lot of the times these worship songs that, you know, some of our favorite artists sing, they're not making it up. These are the same songs that are being sang in heaven. God has given them, you know, he's placed those songs in them to be the bearer of having songs in heaven here on the earth for us to sing, like the angels and like the saints. It was a beautiful thing. I see God filling you with songs from heaven for your own strength and for you to distribute. So let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next caller is 910-709. Always thank you for 910-709. Thank you for the stomp. I see, like, you stomping, you know, like you like I say, I wasn't raised in church, but sometimes you'll see, like, certain ministries, certain denominations, they get stomping, right? They be excited, you know, maybe praising God and then stomping. I call it the firefoot dance. Terrence does it really good. You know, I'd be trying, but I don't have as much experience as he has. But that's what I see you doing. I see you, like, doing a praise stomp. Like, you just pray. Like that's all you know to do. Like, you know what? Have you ever just really had something happen and you just have a David moment where they said David danced until his pants fell off and his wife was embarrassed? Like, what are you doing? You know, pants coming off. You're the king. You know, he didn't care. Because he was having a moment. He was praising. And sometimes when God does something just so amazing, that's all you could do is like do a praise stomp and just thank him. Because you know it's him. That's all you could do is do a praise dance and a praise stomp. That's, I'm using the word stomp because that's the word that he gave me for it. I got to see you just stomping your feet because God is going to show up and show out. And that's all you're going to be able to do is just thank him and do a praise stomp. So, Lord, we thank you for the stomp. We thank you for the praise stomp. Thank you for the dance because we know that it's a form of praise, us dancing. It's a form of our showing our gratitude because there's nothing, you know, we couldn't do enough for you as much as you do for us. We thank you for the miracle that's going to happen. We thank you for the doors that's going to open. We thank you for the ushering in of blessings in every area, not just financial. You know, we say blessings and people always tend to think it's financial, but in every area, favor, health, and, you know, wisdom and just being able to do the things that they want to do. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to just be able to do the things that you want to do. So we thank you for ushering all that in, Lord, and we thank you for that praise stomp. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 202-722. Lord, we thank you for 202-722. We thank you for the flip. Like, I see things flipping in your favor. Flipping. It's kind of like when Haman, right, the story of Queen Esther. At one point, if you don't know the story, read it. Read the story of Esther, Queen Esther, and how at one point her uncle Mordecai, he had an enemy, you know, Haman, and Haman was under the king, he's one of the king's right-hand men, and he hated the Jews, he hated Mordecai, and he, you know, tricked the king basically into signing a proclamation to kill off the Jews and all this stuff, and he just thought he was all that in a bag of chips. And he just knew the king wanted to honor and bless him and all these things. And he built these gallows, right? These tall gallows, because he was going to have Mordecai hanged on the gallows. And all of a sudden, because of God, it flipped. It flipped just like that. It flipped. Now, we don't know if Mordecai knew about the gallows. We don't know if he was stressing about the gallows. We don't know if it got back to him that, oh, hey, I heard that Haman built these gallows to take you out. We don't know that because the Word of God doesn't talk about that. But even if you know that somebody's trying to do something to come against you and trying to take you down or take you out, I'm telling you now, it's going to flip. So don't stress about it. Because if Mordecai did know and was stressing about them gallows, we don't know. You know why we don't know? Because it don't matter. Because it flipped. Them same gallows that Haman built for Mordecai, Haman hung on him. He set his own trap. He set his own death trap. He took himself out. And that's what I see. I see a flip on your in your favor. Somebody's trying to, you know, do something wrong to do you dirt somehow, you know, come against you. It's going to flip. You don't got to worry about it. It doesn't matter. God's protecting you, protecting your name. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 803-991. Lord, we just thank you for 803-991. Thank you for the ribbons. Lord, I see God putting ribbons on things, like dressing them up, so to speak. I'm trying to make it make sense. But that's the word he gave me. Is I'm seeing ribbons, and I'm thinking about the things I use ribbons on. You know, we use ribbons as like an ornament. You know, think about, you know, I know myself, my mom used to like to put ribbons in my hair. She would literally get these yarn ribbons or these big, thick, I don't even know what they were made out of, but she would use them, especially on picture day, to like make my sister and I look extra pretty, I guess, but she liked to put ribbons in our hair. And then for Christmas presents, she was a Christmas fanatic, and I kind of am too, but she liked to wrap presents and also put ribbons on them. And I'm the same way, you know, Terrence Nutt will tell you that if I'm wrapping a present, it's going to have bows, and you know, I like to make it have to be pretty with the ribbon. And that's how I see God like beautifying things for you, like putting ribbons on it, making things beautiful. You know, that's what it is. He's making things beautiful. Because a ribbon makes a big difference. You know, even like, go back to the love little girl. My mom used to love putting my hair in like two ponytails on the side, which is a very basic hairstyle. But when she added them ribbons, it like kicked it up a notch. Even a Christmas present. I'm sorry, but they look better with ribbons. You know? It beautifies. Think of all the things we put ribbons on and how excited we get when we see a big ribbon or a bow. Bows are made out of ribbons. You know, you might get a, you see the commercials with the cars, like the brand new Lexus or whatever. It's always like luxury cars. And you see the person getting all excited because they got the big bow on the top of the car with the ribbon hanging off the side and all that kind of stuff. Ribbon is always something beautiful, something to be excited about. So that's what I see God putting ribbons on things for you. So it's almost like a gift to you or things that he's beautifying. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next person is 920279. Lord, we just thank you for 920279. Thank you for the truth. I see you coming into the truth of things. Sometimes we can move and operate, and we think we're moving and operating in the truth, and it's not. And sometimes it's because of deception, but somebody purposely has done, like somebody's intentionally trying to hide the truth from us. And sometimes it can be misunderstanding. It's like the story we told about, you know, the story I told about earlier with Terrence and I looking for the house, and we started to misunderstand and misinterpret. So it could be either or, but I see God making truth known to you where you're going to walk in the truth. So you're going to know the truth about things. So it's not for you to stress or, oh my God, I'm walking in deception. And no, it's not for that. But it's to know that you just keep doing what you do and know that God's got your back. That the truth always comes out. It always comes out and it's going to come out. So that's what I see. I see you really walking in the truth and knowing the truth. So Lord, just speak truth over their life and let them be and know the truth and provide it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 111111. They never know if those are like out of town or out of country or Google device, but I'm sure you'll know who you are. But Lord, we thank you for 111111. Father God, we thank you for the ability to win people. Like hard people. Like I see you reaching even the hardest heart and knowing how to win them, which is a gift. It's a blessing to be able to win people over. And especially when you're winning them over to Christ. You know, it's one thing to just win people, and that's not what I'm talking about. But it's another thing when you're winning people for Christ. And that's what I see you doing. You're winning people over. Winning people over to the Lord. And being able to make sense of things to people. Because, you know, you talk to people. I love talking to people. And sometimes they've had a bad break in life or they, you know, had some background going to church or maybe they had a parent who just really missed the mark or they had suffered abuse or something. So they don't see God as a protector or a loving God. It's because of a misunderstanding. It's just a misunderstanding because they were understanding it from a child's perspective with a childlike mind or a childish mind, and they took that into adulthood, and they never changed their perspective. But I see God using you to win people over that are would be hard to win over because of the things that they've experienced and their perception of things. So Lord, just give them very tender heart for your people and a tender heart for people in general, people who are hurting and misunderstood and where they've misunderstood things, but help them to be able to just let them show the love of you to people, hard people and hurt people. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 478233. Lord, we just thank you right now for 478233. I see you learning new things. I love that. I'm a learner. I like to learn. I'll learn anything. I like to watch how-to videos, and I love to learn. And I see you learning new things, which is cool. and it's God's going to use it for your benefit. It's, you know, we need to be learning. If we're alive, we should be learning. We should always be learning. It's almost like Earth is like a classroom. You know, we come down here, we make our choice as far as where we're going to spend our eternity, and we learn a lot along the way, and that learning doesn't stop. You know, I've had visions of heaven. I remember the first time I was slain in the spirit, and when the pastor's wife touched me, everything went orange, and I had a vision of me in heaven, excuse me, with Jesus, and we were all sitting in the circle, and he was teaching us how he made flowers, like why he made them, what it symbolized, like what they smelled like, why he made certain scents. Like, he was teaching us. We were learning. We were learning about things from the earth, but we were in heaven. We were heaven still learning, because everything has meaning. And we're going to be lifetime learners, to where we're like, oh my gosh, here you were, you know, using flowers to teach us about this, that, and the other. It's amazing. But I see you learning new things for your benefit and for God's glory, because he's going to use it. Whatever these new things you're going to learn, God's going to use it. So it might be something, you know, it's gonna, like I said, it's things that you don't know. So you're going to be doing something that doesn't, you know, right now you wouldn't know that you were going to be doing it because you haven't learned it yet. So you're just going to be amazed at where God takes you. So, Lord, we just thank you. Open their mind to new things and help them to get a good grasp of it and to enjoy it. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 623-282. Lord, we just thank you for 623-282. I see you, like, securing things, like putting locks on it, like locking things down and securing them. And that's important because, you know, things that are loose, it's like things that are loose that are never like really good when you think about it. Like, you don't want a loose tire on your car. That's bad news. Had a coworker once when I was working at a bank, and she went and get her tires rotated. I can't remember what she was doing. She was doing something to her tires, and the people forgot to – oh, that's my cat. Be quiet. The people forgot to – they had tightened her tires on right, so her tires were loose. So she's driving down the freeway coming to work, whole tire flies off. That's not, you know, that's not a good thing. So, you know, when you think about things that are loose, like if your door hinge is loose, it's going to be, you know, creaking and cracking every time you open it, or, you know, there's just not too many instances I could think of when something's loose. Not to say that all things loose are bad, because sometimes things need to be loose, like when you're, I don't know, there's got to be balance, you know, because if I think of loose, the opposite of loose is tight, and sometimes things do need to be tight, but I don't know, I can't think of it now. I'm pretty sure there's times where loose is good, but when you really think about loose, you I don't know, it's never like, it means it's insecure, but I see you tight, like God using you to secure things and tighten them. So the things that are loose, like I said, the wheel analogy, you're driving with a loose tire, don't know it, and if it's secure, now you're good. But if it's loose, that could be bad news. So I see you securing things, locking things, tightening things, because if they're not secure or tight, you know, things that are not secure could be stolen, or they could cause problems. There's all sorts of things when things are not secure or tight. Or locked. You know, we lock our doors at night because why? We don't want people coming in our house. Not that they can't come in other ways, but, you know, the easiest way to come up in somebody's house is if their door is unlocked. They can just walk in and take whatever they want while you're asleep. You wake up and whole living room set gone, you know. So saying these things to say that the things that God is going to have you do is a good work. Securing things, and locking things that are loose. So, Lord, we just thank you. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Help them to know what to secure, what to loosen. There we go. There's a good instance of loosening when God loosens things to us, puts them in our possession. So God's going to show you what needs to be loosened
for the sake of getting out of your possession, and what needs to be locked and secured so that they remain in your possession. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 205-531. Lord, we just thank you for 205-531. I saw books being opened, like books being opened. You know, I go back, I'm going back to the story of Queen Esther and Mordecai. If you haven't read that story, read it. Because there was a part where the king, there was a part of the story, the king, like, he couldn't sleep. So he's like, bring out the books, right? And they will record good deeds and stuff in the books. And so the person who read the book and brought the book out read a story about Mordecai and how he had done some great things. And the king was like, was he ever rewarded? And they're like, no, you know, not that I see. And he's like, that shouldn't be. I should reward him, you know. And so that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, books being opened. And had the king not opened the books, I don't think he would have even remembered or thought about Mordecai or seen him in a different way. But he had to read it from the books. And I see, like, books being opened so that things that you've done that you were not acknowledged for, or things that deserved a reward, so to speak, you're gonna get what you deserve. You're gonna get the recognition, right? I'm not saying this in a bad way, like, well, you're gonna get what you deserve. I don't mean it like that. I'm saying you're gonna get the things like the accolades and the acknowledgement. And most of us don't do things for that, but sometimes that's just the right thing. You know, maybe somebody took credit for something and that's just not the right thing, and you're not out there, you know, being a credit hog and like, oh, it was me, I did that. But it's still not right if somebody's taking credit for things that you did. You know, acknowledgement and facts are facts, because if somebody else is getting credit for something that you did, that's a lie. It's not that you're trying to get the credit. It's just the fact that they're getting it is not true. But I see books being open and you getting acknowledged and getting good things that you deserve. So let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 682738. Lord, we just thank you for 682738. We thank you for sealing the deal. Yes, sealing the deal. So I see, like, you know, they have the saying, it ain't over till it's over, right? And I see God sealing it so that the deal is done. So you don't have to worry about, like, oh, man, this is going in my favor, but what if at the last second something goes wrong? No, like, the deal's going to be sealed. Like, it's already yours, right? It's yours. God, when God says it's yours. But I see the deal being sealed, and it's sealed in the blood of Jesus, and nothing can come against the blood of Jesus. Nothing. But He's sealing that. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for 682738. We thank you for sealing the deal. Thank you. Let them have peace that with the things that you have for them, the things that you're doing, nobody can take. But you're going to show that by sealing things, sealing it so that they see it. They see it. Yeah, so it's one thing when you disbelieve in that, but God's going to show you that he's sealing the deal so that you have, like, you know, reassurance, but walk in peace now before you see it, because we walk by faith and not by sight. But your faith, you're going to see what you've been believing. You're going to see what you've had faith in. That's going to seal the deal, which is going to really give you a really ultimate sense of peace, and it's going to increase your faith. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And I believe that's everybody. So just thank you all for tuning in and calling in tonight. I just believe miracles with me. I believe in miracles in your physical body. I'm going to pray another prayer like that probably whenever we do another show. But I want to believe for – we did it for the physical body tonight. But I want to believe miracles for the financial realm too. So, of course, I'm going to play that by ear because I let God lead. But I'm believing miracles in all areas, guys. Like, we're gonna see some greater works in our lifetime. I believe that. We're gonna see limbs grow and we're going to see sicknesses, chronic sicknesses healed, things that we just accept. You know, we accept high blood pressure. We accept diabetes. We accept, you know, arthritis. We accept, there's all these things that we just accept, and I see God really showing we don't have to accept those things. We don't have to accept the mental illness that runs in our family. We don't have to accept alcoholism. We don't have to accept sexual sins and all that. We don't have to accept those things. We can believe for healing. Randy's been talking a lot about the DNA realm, which has been exciting to me because I know that God has called me for the area of healing. And so I had been questioning God and asking him, how am I going to do it? You know, it's not Tanisha. How am I going to do it? And so learning about the DNA, and even before Randy was speaking on this, God was talking to me about the blood and DNA and things. And Randy just confirmed it and has expanded on it. But so I'm believing God is going to really open me up to that realm of healing. You know, I've talked even on the show before when I was first saved by the blood of Jesus and became a believer and a follower of Christ, the people that he had me cutting my teeth on were like Catherine Coleman and Reinhard Bonnke. And those who don't know Reinhard Bonnke had an amazing healing ministry. He would do crusades. It was just amazing. And by the time I became a believer, Catherine Coleman had been deceased for many, many years, but he had me study her life. I remember one time even Randy had, you know, in prophecy said, you know, you probably don't know who this is, you know, but God's likening you to Catherine Coleman. I'm like, oh, I know exactly who that is. You know, God had me study her ministry when I was a baby in Christ, you know, so he had me cut my teeth on miracles and healing, and even had showed me visions of me going to other countries and healing people. And it, I mean, just amazing things. So I'm believing for that because it's been in me and things that God has shown me when I was a baby in Christ. And I came into my faith like a baby. I had no bias. I had no background. And so I know it's true. And so I want you to believe that too. So believe tonight for your miracle. Believe for your healing in any area of your life, whether it be physical, financial, whether it be psychological, wherever you need healing, believe it. I'm believing it with you. So thank you once again. Keep Terrence lifted in prayer concerning his back. I'm believing healing for his back, you know, and all the areas of his body that ache. And God's able to do it, and he will. So I love you all. Until next time, have a good night.